Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. We're in your house. Help us to hear from you, be blessed by you, encouraged by you, fed by you, touched by your presence. I ask that you accomplish all that you have to accomplish here this morning. Maybe we walk away from your house, Father, feeling blessed and encouraged and strengthened in our faith, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week I spoke about our goals and our purposes that usually set the course for our life. For instance, being in high school and then trying to determine what your major is going to be in college, or being in junior college, trying to figure out what your major is going to be in a university, whatever the case might be, or deciding if you're going to go to trade school or not, going to military or not, going to just determining our goals and our purposes help to propel us in the direction that we would go. The key is that we're going in the direction that God has proposed for us, that God has designed for us, that God created us for before the world was even formed, before the foundations of the earth. God knew us, he had a plan for us, and he already has pre-planned all the good works that he wants you and I to do before we were even born. That's a mind-boggling reality, that everything that God wants us to do, he already predetermined. He knows who would receive him as his Savior, and he knows what purpose and plan he has for him, and we're called to follow God's will in our life. If we follow God's will in our life, we'll find those gifts and abilities and talents that he wants us to use to accomplish his goals. But what happens when we think about what goals we have? In our normal life, we can get discouraged about those goals. I mentioned it last week about someone going to medical school and going, man, this is just too much work, too much money, too much time, too many years, too much invested. I'm changing my major to something else. When we evaluate the depth or the cost or the price of the goal, sometimes that can alter the course we're going because it gets too difficult to do. And yet God wants us to follow him and his goals. Now, I've found in my life, and I'm sure you've found in your life too, that when God puts a goal before us, they're usually a goal that's not easily attained. You think that's true? I mean, how much would a goal be if it's something that you could do easily? You know, it's a goal that is set before us that we're to pursue after. And when God sets a goal in front of us, it's a goal of his purpose. It's a goal that is outside of our capabilities and that we have to rely on him to help us to reach those goals. But if we reach his goals, we will be blessed and God will be glorified. But what interferes with reaching those goals? Well, how about low self-esteem? What about past mistakes in our lives? What about people's ridicule of us? What about lack of experience? What about worry, fears, pride, over self-analyzing, and a lack of knowledge of who we are in Christ? And that's so important. We are in Christ Jesus. He is in us, we are in him, and he has already equipped us to do everything he calls us to do. That's something we need to hold on to. God calls us to do something, puts a goal in front of us that he wants us to reach, then he's already equipped us to do that. When I was first called into ministry at age 17, I remember my first message. Well, first few messages, and the stand of flowers were up front, and we had a podium like this, but it was out of wood, and I was going, shh, shh. What was the stand of flowers doing? And shh, shh, shh. And the organist jumped up and ran. She was like, I just can't stand it anymore. In a little church like this, and she moved the stand of flowers out of the way. She says, now you can do this. I was a nervous wreck. I was an absolute nervous wreck. Standing in front of people was not something that was natural for me, but I know and I knew that God had put that purpose in front of me, that goal. The goal was to follow Jesus, and in following Jesus, Jesus said, this is the way I want you to go, and then he says, call you to preach, and it's like, ah, you want me to talk in front of people? Yeah, unbeknown to me, saying, look, you're shy, but I want you to know that when you are able to do what I call you to do, that it's not your power, but my power that speaks through you, enabling you to do what I call you to do. That's what God calls us to do. But we find ourselves saying, I'm not capable of that. Praise God. For when I'm weak, I'm made strong in Christ Jesus, right? We have that low self-esteem, but our confidence is to be in Christ, not ourselves. And so there's several things that we can do to help us keep on track to accomplish the goals God has set before us. Now, some of those goals, again, can be sharing the gospel. It doesn't come natural to most of us to share the gospel with somebody. A lot of that has to do with our spiritual warfare. It's scary because you don't know what to expect. You don't know the reaction. Ray Comfort with Way of the Master Ministries. He's an expert at sharing the gospel. That's his career, right? And he will invariably say, I'm always scared to death inside with that Australian accent. And I don't know what to expect or what's going to happen. And we're knocking on our heads. We go, you're scared to death? Yeah. It's a spiritual warfare. And so we have to put it to practice. So he put to practice learning the skills to be able to relate to each individual and their own personality and who they are, and to love all people for where they're at, and just give the gospel of Christ out of genuine love for people. He learned how to practice to do that, and he got more confident as God taught him. And so we can flip the script, as they say, and get moving forward again. In other words, we might see who we are, and we might allow those things like, again, low self-esteem, lack of experience, worry, fears, pride, analyzing too much to where we convince ourselves that it's not what we're supposed to do or that we can't do it, and flip the script and say, I'm following Jesus. Jesus has told me this is what he wants me to do. This is what he's leading me to do. This is the goal that's set before me, and through Christ, I've been promised that I can do all things through Christ. And so we're flipping the script. We're saying, hey, I'm wanting to follow Christ, and Christ is my strength. He's the one that can enable me to do what he's called me to do. And in fact, he has already done that. But we need to practice that, like I said, at kids' time. Yeah, you don't just become a natural studier of God's word. You put it to practice. And over, and you learn how to look things up and how to dig deeper in God's word. So we need to practice, study, ask others how-to questions to give us that experience and knowledge we need to accomplish God's goals for us. God's goals aren't necessarily spiritual goals. Okay, they're the activity and the things that God has placed in front of you to do in and through him. For instance, prime example, I love the hobby of my guitar and harp, but it is a hobby. It's not something that's mastered, and I get discouraged real fast, especially on the harp. And in that, I can write my music, and I can put it on paper, but to play it is another challenge. And so whispering in my ear, what happens is you're always going to be that person that is just under the cuff of not making it. Because you've always been that type of person, even in academics. You're just under the top. You're not academically way up here, one of those, academic students. You're down here, and you got to work hard to get there. And so it's like, okay, God's put this desire in my heart for music, but I have to make a commitment to follow through with it. Because if God truly has put it there, then I got to stop letting myself get discouraged about it and keep pursuing it. And in time, you learn, and I have. I've learned in time how to develop those skills, but I have to be willing to pursue it. Now you might say, well, music is not a ministry per se for my life, but God always brings things into our lives that he wants to use for his glory. So if we're persistent, we can accomplish what God calls us to do. And so we need to flip that script of what we think of ourselves and put our focus on God. We can flip the script, as they say, and get moving forward again and again. And we need to practice, study, ask others how-to questions, like I said before. But first, we need to flip the script and practice. So stop looking at ourselves and our inadequacies and look at Christ and his capability. And when we do that, whatever goals God has in place for us, remind you, before the foundations of the world, he has set the purpose and the good works that he has designed for each one of us to accomplish through him. And we're only going to discover them as we follow him and as he lays them out before us. And like I said earlier, he will put things in front of us that are beyond our capability. to teach us to trust him to see his power work in our life. Now, I want to look at a strange little passage of scripture that kind of reflects the ambidextrous. That's the best I'm going to do. I have to practice that. Left hand, right hand. But if you read this passage of scripture with me, see if you can identify the two-handed reference to it, okay? That took practice. In 1 Chronicles 12, 1 and 2, says, Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war, armed with bows. I know you've used a bow because you've got your whatever that double bow is. And I like archery, but it's compound bows and all that stuff, right? And so they were armed with bows, not compound bows necessarily, using both the right hand and the left, and hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. Now let me ask you a question. You watch these shows, you know, AGT or different talent shows or things. Maybe you don't watch it, I don't know. But circus acts, and you see the guy with his pretty wife up against the board, and she's spinning, and he's throwing, boom, knives, right? And missing her, right? How do you think she'd respond if he goes, hey, honey, I'm going to try with my left hand. I've done that before, right? It'd be a little scary. Right? Absolutely. And I really don't know how you would practice that one, you know, very easily. In fact, I don't know how they would do it to begin with. But this army of Saul, of David rather, they were so committed to being powerful soldiers in the army that they were placed in, that they practiced their archery, they practiced throwing stones, both with the right hand and the left hand. So at any whim, any need, they go, you know what I mean? Now, I don't know how I guess you hold the bow here, hold the bow here, but they were just flipping out stones and arrows left and right. It makes you a pretty powerful military instrument, right? And that's the point. They had to really work hard at it and be committed to it. Anything that we want to accomplish that doesn't come natural to us, we have to work hard at to accomplish that, right? And that's what they did. So they used that, and most people, only 1% of people are ambidextrous. And so to make yourself be both left-handed and right-handed is a challenge, and yet they did that. They taught themselves how to do that in order to be the best they could be for the purpose that was set before them, for the goal that was set before them as God's people, protecting King David. So if God's given you a goal in life, find out what skills you need and start learning and practicing them. How do you know if God's put a goal in your life? He stirs your heart for something that just comes to your mind, like, hey, I feel like God is leading me to fill in the blank. And you're going, where's that coming from? God continues to bring it, or someone else brings it up to you, or is in a message, or there's a way we identify God speaking to us by His Spirit, by His Word, by circumstance, by the body of Christ. God will begin popping up the same thing in front of your face and getting your attention that, hey, I'm putting this in front of you to do God's work, to do what I've proposed for you before the foundations of the world. I didn't wake up one day and say I was going to be a pastor, but God stirred that. And I'm sure there are things in your life as you serve the Lord that you never thought you would be doing as you serve Him. So, if God has given you a goal in life, find out what skills you need and start learning and practicing them. Accomplishment in life requires effort. There's a Brooklyn Dodger named George the Shotgun Shuba. Never heard of him. Interesting story, though. His swing was described as, quote, as natural as a smile. And smiles come naturally without even thinking. That was his batting swing. That's how people thought, man, this guy's so natural. Shuba thought that this was a humorous description because he knew his great swing was due to extreme practice he put in. Shotgun Shuba swung a weighted baseball bat 600 times a day after working his off-season job. 600 times a day he batted with, you know, practiced his swing. That's a lot of effort. But people looked at him and said, man, he swings a bat like taking a smile. And he did. He smiled on the side. He said, boy, you don't know how much work I put into achieving that. So sometimes we need to stop and evaluate how hard are we willing to work towards God's goals in our life. Do you ever have goals in your life that God's put in front of you and you're going, impossible, no way, too big, not going to do it? But those are the things that God wants to do to show his power in our life. Secondly, we can flip the script by changing our thoughts. I mentioned that earlier. The way we think can determine how we act. And so we need to be careful that we don't hold back because of what we're thinking, our own thought life. Like I said earlier about music, you'll always be that person that doesn't quite get there. You'll always be that person that, and fill in the blank. Those whispers in your ears that discourage and hold us back from being what or accomplishing the goals and purposes that God wants to do in our lives. One of the issues or things that I had mentioned back about holding back in our thought life, people do worry about what they think, what people think of them. Remember a few years back we had a music program, and I'm up here with my harp. It was my turn to pluck 5 notes. I came forward, bing, and just stepped back, and it was embarrassing, just totally embarrassing. I was terrified. You see, the thing about being in God's Word is that Terry Glovin, and I know I'm talking about myself, and I apologize, I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to pull out some realistic things, that the thing about, even to this day, stepping up to the pulpit, I walk up, okay, Lord, here we go. a little bit afraid, okay? Even to this day, I'll walk up that way. But the thing is that when presenting God's Word, Terry Glover can stand behind the Word. They don't have to look at me. This is God's Word, take it or leave it, right? Not looking at me. But when there are other things that we do that really focus on us, it's absolutely horrifying to me. And so getting back to the point is that if God is leading us and we allow the thoughts of insecurity or the thoughts of inability or the reaction of people and ridicule, like sharing the gospel with the reaction, Ray Comfort again, saying, never know what's going to happen, and always terrified at that, which is an amazing thing in itself. We need to expose and get rid of those thoughts and bring our thoughts captive unto God. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And if we're going to follow Christ, it's a warfare. It's a determination. It's a commitment to God. And we have to hold on to our artillery, the Word of God. And God is telling us right here, he says, we're not to rely on our carnal abilities, our own abilities, right? But we are to rely in our God who is mighty. We can trust God to pull down the strongholds that keep us from moving forward, that God has towards those things that God has us to reach. We're to cast down the arguments, the self-analyzing that convinces us that we can't. Cast that down. And anything that works against God and its own pride, cast that down. Get rid of that God might bring our thoughts collectively and correctly focused on him to be the people that he's called us to be. That we might live life, a life of obedience to Christ, which reflects our love for Christ. If we love Christ, he says that we'll be obedient, right? We can say we love God, but if we're not being obedient, then we're not really showing love. You need to cast down those arguments against God and His will or our goals for us. If God's told us something to do, we know God is there that not just to help us and not just to equip us, but to be there to give us the victory that He wants us to experience in Him. We need to cast down those arguments against God and His will or goals for us. Trying to get a little bit more real, a little bit more connected, but has there been a time in your life where you felt like you walked up to the line of where God was challenging you? And God said, this is what I want you to do, and you're at that line, and all you had to do was say, yes, Lord. But instead, you saw the line, you heard the goal and the challenge of God, and you said, no thanks. This is not what God wants for us. Because when we step back from the goal that God has predetermined before the foundations of the world, we step back from that, we miss the fullness of life that God intends for us to have in Him. We fit the mold of what God has designed us for instead of trying to fit the mold that we make that we're not designed to live for. And so we need to make those decisions to step in, even though it's terrifying. Even though it's all these thoughts and all this rationale comes against us, God saying, look, you know that I'm talking to you. You know that I have laid it out plain to you. You know that I am in front of you, calling you, leading you, presenting this to you. And you are not to allow your thoughts and your own carnal thinking to convince you not to do what I, your Heavenly Father, who loves you with all the love that you can even imagine, that's immeasurable, is calling you to do. So step away from our own carnal thinking and step into spiritual insight and follow God. And when we do that, we'll find the life that God has for us, the abundant life that God has for us. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, again, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Don't let that battlefield in your mind happen, but bring your thoughts unto God that the strongholds can be broken down. Casting down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God can call you into to do something that scares the socks off of you. And yet you know God is calling you to, and that's where you step into faith and not rely on your own self. If God's told us to do something, He's obviously going to help us, right? And Satan loves to tell us that we can't do it. Satan wants to convince us of all the reasons why we shouldn't do it. And that's building up that stronghold that holds us back, where when we bring our thoughts captive to God, God gives us a liberty and freedom in Him to where we can step into doing what God's called us to do that fills our life, and that brings glory to Him. Tell God your fears and feelings. Ask Him to fortify you against the thoughts that combat against the will of God for your life. His weapons are spiritual and mighty and will help us overcome. Thirdly, flip the script by getting past obstacles in your life. There are things in our life that just stand in the way in our mindset that we can't get past. God, even the obstacles that are in our life, if God is leading us to do something, He'll take care of that obstacle. Can we agree with that? God will take care of those obstacles. Sometimes we're stopped in those tracks, and in that we're stopped from reaching the goals. And because of the obstacles and the problems that we're facing, we never experience the victory that God has for us. Has anybody ever heard of Joseph Merrick? Looking at some of you teachers. No? Okay. Joseph Merrick. Okay, I wouldn't have known his name, but you're recognize it in a minute. You may know him as the Elephant Man. Does that ring a bell? The Elephant Man? Most of his short life was filled with ridicule, emotional and physical pain, and lack of love from others. He suffered from neurofibromatosis. Large tumors formed in his nervous system tissue, on bones and skin. He was deformed and had difficulty breathing and was in pain. Dr. Trevis found him and took him in. Most people shrieked in fear at the sight of him. He looked like a monster to them. Finally, one day a nurse smiled at him and shook his hand. No one had ever done that before. After that, he began to change little by little. And he pored over the scriptures. He was actually quite intelligent. With God's help, Merritt moved past his obstacle. His body raked with deformities, pain, and disease. His obstacle actually taught him to be kind to others. He never complained or said an unkind word. As a result of moving on past his obstacle, he went on to inspire many people in England. Many people would come to visit and converse with him. He thought God's goal for him might have been to inspire us to get past our obstacles and remember to treat others kindly. We all have different obstacles or problems in our lives. We have health problems or relationship problems or financial problems, and the list continues endlessly. But we need to ask God and ourselves what he's trying to teach us through our obstacles and help us to get past them. So whether it's trying to accomplish a goal of skill or whether it's to step into to reaching the goal that God sets before us that is an objective that he has for our lives, whatever it might be, don't let the obstacle stop us from being what God's called us to be. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to ask God in ourselves what he's trying to teach us through our obstacles and help us get past them. If in our life, and as we're following Christ, and he's confronted us and said, this is what I have, this is the direction I have you to go, and we step back because of the rationale that's in our own mind and our own flesh, instead of stepping out in faith, doing what God has called us to be, remember that we can do all things through Christ. And God will begin to reveal his power in and through our lives. And lastly, flip the script by remembering who you are in Christ. In 1 John 5:4, it says, every child of God can defeat the world, and our faith is what gives us the victory. Want victory in life? Want victory over the obstacles? You want victory over the challenges? You want victory in Jesus, living out the life and purpose that God has called us to have? Then we need to not allow what goes on up here that works against God. We're to cast those things down and not acknowledge that, and we're to yield ourselves to God and say, God, you are the one that's calling me. You have equipped me. You will give me all that I need and accomplish the work you have in me as I walk by faith in you. And we're beginning to see the things that God has for our lives that we never thought were possible. Apply your faith, gain the victory, flip the script, and accomplish God's goals for you. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Holy Spirit, and Father in heaven, I just thank you for being our Father, for loving each one of us, for knowing us better than we know ourselves, knowing that there's nothing about ourselves that is hidden from you, that you know all the good and all the bad, and yet you still love us. You're still faithful to us. You still are working in our lives and shaping us and making us what you want us to be in you. And I pray, Father, please, that you will just help us to walk away with the concept that we're going to cast down, we're going to knock down any thought process that stands in the way of you and your will for our lives. That we might see the work you want to do, the goals you want to see us reach in and through you, the faith that you want us to grow in, the power of you working in and through our lives, that you might be glorified. I pray, Father, please, that you will just touch our hearts with this. Let our goal and our focus to be simply in your will and your direction and your purpose for our lives, and to know that no matter what's in front of us, whatever it is, whatever the path, you have already planned out that path and you will work through all the obstacles. Help us to embrace you. Father, I can't communicate this, but only you can. And honestly, I don't know if it's me at the pulpit or if it's in the sanctuary here, but it seems as though there's a spiritual battle or a deadness of spirit or a oppressive spirit. And I know, Father, that there have been times when I'm at the pulpit that's I'm the only one feeling that. And other times it's just a reality in the sanctuary. But really, Father, truly, I pray that you will instruct your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to touch each one of our hearts, hearts that are listening, hearts that are not listening, to receive what you have for each one of us to receive because you love us. And let us walk away, Father, with that encouragement from you through your word and through your hand and your blessing. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.